views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm so glad you're joining us here today, whether you're listening on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. Perhaps you're listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. Maybe you're listening somewhere across the United States on cable radio network or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from, you're going to be glad you joined us because we are going to be exploring one word and the power of that. And I'm not going to tell you what that is until I say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Wow.
Oh, I like that. That's a very powerful word.
It is. And you can even hold it up, three fingers on each side, and put your mouth open, go, wow, and there's your wow.
Oh,
it's a visual thing. You'd have to see it on the webcam, but oh well.
Yeah, do you want to climb in front of the
webcam? No, I'm good. Or amazing. Could use that.
Amazing. Yeah, that's another good
word.
All
great words.
Yeah, and this is a word that many people aren't so comfortable with, and when you start to view it differently, it's very powerful. And I'm just loving this book.
I could take a good guess, but I don't want to give it away.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And I'll see if I'm right, though.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll check in later.
Please.
And see. We're all on our journey in one way or another. Sometimes we're more conscious about it than other times. Some of us are more conscious about it than others. I know that, you know, if you're listening on KKNW, you are on your journey with purpose. And you're going to be glad to hear this conversation today because I'm going to be talking to the author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. Her name is Allison Carman. And you know what? I love this. She's a former attorney. You know, being a former research statistician turned energy healer, you know, I love people who've gone from these mainstream jobs and careers and mindsets and shifted perspectives. She is now an inspirational life coach, a business consultant, a very active speaker and blogger. She has articles appearing in the Huffington Post, Psychology Today. And her book, as I said before, is a very powerful book, The Gift of Maybe. I'd like to welcome Allison Carman to the show today. Hi, Allison.
Oh, thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
And we're talking to you from, Seattle, and you're in New York. Is that right?
Yep, in the middle of New York City with a bunch of snow outside.
Oh, no. Snow again?
Lucky.
Last night, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. See, you know, our trees out here have been blooming early, and
we're struggling, basically. We need the snowpack and the rain.
Yeah.
You should just truck all that back over here. We'd really appreciate it.
Well, I think there's somebody in Boston actually sending it in a box. That's shipping it out. So.
Truckloads, perhaps, yes.
I hope the Postal Service has given them a great discount.
So, you know, Allison, I've been really enjoying your book, and it's actually somewhat simple in terms of the title, but as we explore it through your guidance, it's maybe is a very powerful word. How did you go from attorney to somebody who is looking at the benefits and the beauty of maybe?
Well, I always say that I was addicted to certainty. And I needed to know what was going to happen next in my life. And if I didn't know, I projected things were going to be bad or they wouldn't work out in my life. And I think a lot of people suffer from this in our society, that we don't feel okay and we don't feel safe. And in order to get this ground, what we do is we write stories about what needs to happen for us to be okay.
Right.
I need to have this job until I retire. I need to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50. My child needs to go to this college to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we walk around with these stories, and for a while it works for us. But then one day the unexpected hits.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden we lose our ground. Well, what's happening? Things aren't working out. And it's a very difficult way to live because we're living in pain. We're living in fear. Mm-hmm. And for me, what I did is, you know, I had all these worries. So I wrote this story. And as I was growing up, my story was that I was going to get a job at a large law firm in Manhattan. Uh-huh. I was going to marry this great guy. I was going to make a lot of money. And everything would be okay. And right. my life would be set.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things happened. And I remember actually walking to work my first day at this large law firm. I became the attorney. Everything was great. I was overlooking Central Park.
Uh-huh.
The day had arrived. I was set. And life was going to be great.
Uh-huh.
And the second day, I'm sitting in my office.
Uh-huh.
And my office mate comes in. He says, Allison, did you hear? They're firing half the first years. And I was a first year.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of a sudden, my head starts to spin. And it was interesting that because I'd written this story for so long, when I heard that they were firing half the first years, I didn't recover from this level of stress and anxiety for a long time. And even though they didn't end up firing me, I started to worry after that, were they going to like my memo? Was uh-huh. there going to be a terrorist attack in New York City? Was I going to get a raise? Was my husband going to leave me? And I just kept spinning out of control because life always has uncertainty in it.
Yes,
and then
it does.
I stopped sleeping, and my immune system became very compromised. So I started, while I was working at this large law firm, I started to go to all these doctors. And they started to take all these blood tests. And they're like, Allison, there's nothing wrong with you, mm-hmm. but here's this little blue pill for your anxiety, and I'm sure it'll make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But even the pill made me anxious. So this was just, I was in a no-win situation. So then I started to eat differently. I started to do acupuncture, all these things. And I did find some balance. But then the minute something really unexpected happened in my life, I spun out of control.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, I heard this beautiful story. And it was about this farmer, and that he had a horse. And the horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor came by and said to the farmer, you have the best luck.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the army comes to take his son to war, but they can't take him because his son's leg is broken.
Uh-huh.
And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And when I heard this story for the first time in my life, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And I was filled with such hope and possibility because I had been so worried in my entire life that the horse was going to run away that it never occurred to me that he could come back. And I went home that day and I had just started a business. I'd left the law. I'd started a consulting business. And I threw every single worry I had against this idea of maybe I'm not going to have enough clients. I'm never going to make enough money.
Uh-huh.
And then I started to see it in a different way. Well, maybe I am. Maybe things will change. Maybe everything will get better. And all of a sudden, I went from this one-way thinking, this fear-based thinking that things could only be one way, to this open, grand space where I saw life has maybe, and there's always more possibilities. And even though intellectually we all know this, uh-huh. emotionally we don't know this. And
right.
what maybe did allowed me to align my mind and my heart and my whole being into this place of hope and possibility. And my life has never been the same again.
Yeah. So I'm going to say wow to that. I need
well,
to catch
Benny's
that.
Word.
Yeah, I know.
Benny's word is wow.
I know.
Thank
no,
you.
It,
I appreciate it.
I mean, it's a very powerful story because, you know, we are raised to believe that, you know, if we follow certain rules, then life will work out a certain way.
Right.
And, you know, it's so wonderful that life doesn't always work out the way we expect it to, you know.
Right.
And so you deal with clients who are in various situations. How do you help people shift from being afraid because things aren't turning out the way they want them to or the way they expected them to allowing that space of you know, that powerful maybe?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, you know, we have to recognize what's happening with how we're thinking. And a lot of people come into my office and they're so they want to be positive about life. I think we all do. We all wake up in the morning and we want to be hopeful about the day. We want to be positive about the things that are going to happen to us. But if you're afraid of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to be a positive thinker. I mean, if you actually go back to Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, it
uh-huh.
was very God-based. It was like, if everything will work out, there's God. Well, what happens if you don't believe in God?
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are people that do, and there are some people that just are okay with whatever happens in life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of those people that fear uncertainty, it's going to be tough to stay positive because when negative things happen, you're going to be battling between positive and negative, and eventually the fear is going to take over. And right. So when people come to me, if they're struggling with uncertainty, it's going to be hard for them to hold on to their goals. Like I had a fellow who came to my office and he was like, Allison, I'm so excited. I'm going to start this business. And at the end of the month, I'm going to have $30,000 of income and 10 clients. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the month, he only had $2,000 of income and only a few clients. Uh-huh. Now, if he's afraid of uncertainty, he's not going to pursue his goals. He's going to say, my business isn't going to work out. But if you engage in this idea of maybe, you allow him to open up and realize, well, it's really not about positive and negative. It's really not about how many clients you have in this moment. It's like if we're open and maybe, can we look at it a different way? Can we hold this business? Can we hold this goal in a broader perspective and really see, can this continue? Is there hope? Is there possibility? And I often find that when you're able to shift somebody away from the fear-based thinking and more into this open place of maybe, they're going to be able to hold even a positive thought. They're going to be able to hold on to their goals, and they're mm-hmm. going to be able to persevere through the twists and turns. That's what happens. The minute there's a twist or turn, people get negative. Things aren't working out. I'm never going to be able to achieve what I want.
Right.
But this idea of maybe, you're like, well, maybe I still can. Maybe something else will happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like you open up again and again and again and again. And I find most people are able to kind of stick with what they want in life. And of course, if you stick with it, you're more likely to find your way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but we're going to talk more about the gift of maybe with Allison Carman when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Where you think you're going, baby? Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But here's my number.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Benny is just a master at finding those songs with just the right message. And
just call us maybe.
Yeah.
You could do that here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So what was your guess before, Benny? You had said, wow, that was your first guess. And you said you thought you knew what it was.
I knew a big word, and a lot of people are nervous or scared of using it, is the word fear.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it means so many things on so many different levels. But I was wrong. So.
Right. Well, so what we're talking about is the gift of maybe. Allison Carman, you know, you had a huge transformation in your own life applying maybe. And I know that you are actually teaching others within the context of business consulting and articles and, you know, blogs and through speaking engagements. So, once we become aware of possibility, what else do we do in order to, you know, step into that, the power of maybe?
Well, there's a great exercise in the first chapter of the book, which I think is most helpful to people. And I think the first thing is you have to create this awareness. What's the thought? What's the fear thought that's causing you pain? What's the fear thought that's holding you back? And what you know, we call it a linear thought, however you want to describe that thought. Mm-hmm. The first thing is you say that thought out loud or you write it down. I'll never get another job. Mm-hmm. I will never have enough money to retire. If my child doesn't get into that college, my child won't be successful.
Right.
And then after you write that thought down, you ask yourself, am I absolutely 100% certain that that thought is true?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is most of the time we're not 100% certain that this fearful thought is true. And then we say, what else is there? And we start to write the maybe statements down. And they could be very broad. Maybe things will get better. Uh-huh. Maybe everything is good. Maybe everything's still okay. Or we can get very specific. Maybe losing this job was a good thing. Maybe there's another job. Maybe I need to find a new career. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll be okay no matter what. And if you sit there and you put your time in with these maybe statements, sometimes it happens in a moment and sometimes it'll take 20 minutes, you will shift. You will shift because you're going from this really small, cramped space within your mind
right.
to this expansive place where you recognize more is possible. And just that, even if that fear doesn't totally go away, you're holding in this larger space where you know, okay, there's more than one way things could happen. And again, like I said before, we know this intellectually. Uh-huh. We don't know it emotionally.
Right.
So maybe brings you to that place where you align the intellectual knowledge that you have and your emotional being, and you just get to this place where you feel more at ease about what's happening in your life and you feel more hopeful.
Right.
So I think that's the easiest way for people to start to engage in this idea.
So can you give us some examples of your clients? You've got some wonderful stories in your book where they went from thinking that something was dire to actually benefiting in a positive way from what they were facing.
Well, there was this in the beginning of the book, there's this story about this fellow named Joe, and he was in marketing and he lost his job. And within a couple weeks, he got a temporary job.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's funny. We all write the story when we have a job that things are secure.
Right.
Everything's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, no one ever really knows, right, how long a job will last. But because he got this temporary job,
uh-huh.
and he didn't know if they'd keep him for a month or for 6 months or for a year, it was driving him crazy because he didn't get to write that story of certainty. I now have a job that I'm uh-huh. going to have for a really long time. And because he, you know, was a very fear-based type of person, he was a worrier, he really wasn't dealing very well. And his wife would turn around and say to him, just have faith. Everything's mm-hmm. going to be okay. But again, because he was afraid of uncertainty, he couldn't have faith. And uh-huh. he couldn't even write the story that things were going to be okay because he had that temporary title in his job.
Right.
So when
right.
he came to me, we started to work with this idea of maybe. And again, we went back to the original, what's your fear? And my fear is, Allison, Joe said to me, my fear is that I'm not going to be able to keep this job for a long time. And I said, well, what would happen after that? I would lose my job. I wouldn't be able to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, his thoughts continued on and on and on. He wasn't able to sleep at night. So then we started to engage in this idea of maybe this job will last for a period of time. I mean, mm-hmm. it sounds so simple, right?
Right.
But yet it's so profound when you're able to give up that one fearful thought and sit in a broader place. Maybe he said, I'll get a new job. Maybe things will be okay. Maybe I'll be okay. Like I said, maybe I'll be okay no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And as he was able to engage this idea of maybe, he got much more comfortable in this temporary position. And what's so interesting is that he ended up making more money when he filed his tax return.
Uh-huh.
They kept him for a very long time. And when he filed his tax return that year with the temporary job, he made more money than he made the year before.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
You know, you just never know in life. And I think that's what maybe does. It allowed him to still to move forward with his life. I mean, you know, in a way, the outside world never changed. He had that temporary job through the entire experience.
Uh-huh.
But what Baby did, it changed his internal experience. And we always say, right, it's an inside job. It changed how he was able to see it. So he was able to be more present and more joyful. And who knows, maybe that helped him keep the job. Maybe he was working, you know, because he was less stressed and less worried. Maybe his mind was clear.
Uh-huh.
All we know is that when we open up, life changes. And also we have such a better experience.
Right.
And I think ultimately that's what we want. We all want to be present. We want to be open. And we want to be joyful. But how do we get there? And maybe it's such a beautiful tool to use to achieve those things.
So it seems to me that inherent in all of this is becoming more and more comfortable with the moment that is, as opposed to like worrying about the future. How do we go about doing that and sort of plan for the future, but sort of stay in the now?
You know, one of my favorite things is that, you know, I read all the time lately, you know, these articles just say, stay in the moment, stay present.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's so hard for people, right? Because they're so worried. They're either worried about the future or they're stuck in the past.
Right, exactly.
And
it's a story of one sort or another going through our heads, you know, as opposed to being here now.
Right. And so that's what Maybe did for me. Out of everything, it definitely enabled me to stop projecting in the future because I realized maybe everything is okay and maybe something else will happen. So that one fearful thought didn't own me anymore because with this idea of maybe I was more relaxed and I realized that things could go many ways and I had hope and possibility. So my mind would settle. But then you have to worry about the past, right? Because some people aren't worried about the present. Some people are like, well, you know, my mom told me I couldn't achieve this, or, you know, I failed. I lost my job last year. How am I going to keep this job? So we have all these stories in our minds of the past. So then that also keeps us out of the present. But that's what's also so great about maybe. Maybe doesn't, you know, force you to solve everything that's ever happened in your life before.
Uh-huh.
What it does, it takes you in the moment and says, maybe what happened yesterday is never going to happen again.
Right.
And maybe what your mother said about you wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, it's casting doubt on your past experiences, allowing you to believe maybe it'll never happen again. It's casting doubt on anything anyone has possibly ever said to you. So again, there you are. You're like, okay, well, maybe life could be different than it was in the past, and maybe I don't have to worry about the future. So all of a sudden, your mind goes to this new place where you are more present. And that's what's so beautiful. And what happens when you're present? When you're present, you're really living in life.
Uh-huh.
And what's so great about maybe, too, is that it also allows you to experience more. So if you're not in the past and you're not in the future, and you're in the moment, but then you're engaged in the moment with maybe, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
Because then you're going to say, well, maybe I could try something else. Maybe there's something else to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're experiencing the moment in a different way. But what's also great, too, is maybe also doesn't say there aren't hardships in life. Because I know sometimes people will call me up and they'll say, Allison, you know, what about this horrible thing that's happened to Jamie's child or somebody, you know, is ill?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe helps you in those moments, too, because it allows you to come to the present and say, what is still possible in my life in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell this story. I gave this book to this fellow who lost his wife. And he read the book and he came to me and said, Allison, I hated your book. And I'm like, you hated my book. And you know, looking back, I understand why. He was grieving.
Right.
And he was in this really sad place where he needed to feel what he was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I thought, wow, you know, that, you know, maybe didn't help this fellow. But 2 years later, he has a girlfriend now.
Oh, that's great.
So it's really interesting. And he said to me, Allison, you know, at the time I read your book, I didn't get it. But now I'm so thankful because I came to a place in my life where I did say maybe. I said, here I am. Maybe something else is left for me to experience. And it doesn't say he's happier with his girlfriend than he is with his wife, because maybe it's not about that. It just says what's left for me. And that's so you're in the present, and even if life's not exactly how you want it to be, there's still you could still say what is left. Where's the possibility? Where's the hope?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not even comparing past and present. You're just here, and you're willing to experience what is possible.
Right. And one of the things that strikes me is the more we get out of our stories and get into the, you know, the maybe, as you call it, of the moment, that allows us to actually be more present with who we are and how we feel, which helps inform us about what choices to make heading towards the future.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, because we have to allow ourselves to feel what we're feeling. Right? I mean, that's
right,
like,
right.
Again, the whole...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just positive emotions, but everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so great about maybe, because it says, okay, whatever you're feeling, but there's a place to go to when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And this is open place. And I think that's what I love about it. You feel angry, you feel sad, you feel worried, okay. But know that when you know there's maybe, eventually you could glide into it over time. And I remember when I first heard about, I read Norman Vincent Peale's book, mm-hmm. I decided I was going to be a positive thinker. And I was like, I am going to be positive all day long.
Right.
And when a negative thought came up, I would suppress it. By the time I went to sleep that night, I had a nightmare. My mother died, my father died, my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law died.
Oh, no.
I woke up, I fell asleep again, I had the exact same dream. And I think what was happening is that I wasn't allowing myself to feel what I needed to feel.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really interesting thing. We have to be careful to allow it, to integrate it, to allow it, and then maybe in a way gives us a place for it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we are in it, when you know there's maybe, you still feel hope. So
right,
it's kind
right.
of such a beautiful place to be.
Yes, it is. And this is a wonderful topic, and we need to go to another quick break. But more about the gift of maybe, finding hope and possibility in uncertain times with Allison Carman when we return.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Allison Carman, the author of The Gift of Maybe. Now, Allison, you know, you've been talking about applying this within our own lives. And yes, you know, we look at situations in our own life and we can get to this place of fear, whether it's a career shift, a relationship shift. But, you know, as parents, sometimes we have a harder time kind of letting go of our attachment to, you know, the path that our kids are taking. How do you apply the gift of maybe to parenting?
Well, it's so interesting. Out of all the areas that I've worked with baby, I've been most surprised about the parenting piece because I came into this through my own suffering, and then I came into this through a business perspective. Yet, out of all the things we deal with in life, parenting is one of the most difficult things because we need to know our kids are okay.
Right.
That's the most important thing. And we want to know that they're going to get a good job. We want to know they're going to go to good schools. We want to know they're going to be happy. And we know life is uncertain and there are no guarantees. But so how do we deal with that? How do we stay hopeful? How do we stay open to possibilities when we're dealing with these people, these children we can't control,
right?
And we can't control their events in their life. And so I think out of all the things that I've dealt with, I think it's maybe is most powerful in parenting. And, you know, when I found that, you know, I talked about that exercise in chapter one before about, you know, asking yourself what you're most fearful about. I actually found that exercise when I thought my daughter had celiac disease. And I think a lot of people have it. Your child gets a diagnosis. I know I have a very dear friend now. Her child has leukemia. Your child has a disability. Your child doesn't make the basketball team. All these things are always happening.
Sure.
And for me, when I heard the possibility that my child could have celiac disease, it just threw me because that wasn't supposed to happen, right? We're going to write stories. We write stories mostly about our children.
Yeah.
And even though intellectually I know so many people who live with celiac disease, it didn't matter. Emotionally, I was not prepared to have this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the doctor told me about the possibility because my daughter was having stomach problems, he said, you know, you're going to have to wait 10 days for the blood work back.
Uh-huh.
10 days. And I went home that night and that day and that evening, and my head was spinning. This can't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. Oh, my God, things are terrible. And then I sat down, and I did that exercise, and I said, what's my biggest fear?
Uh-huh.
And my biggest fear was that my daughter has celiac disease, and she won't be okay. And I think that's what happens. My child's not going to get into that college, and they're not going to make a good enough living to have a good life.
Uh-huh.
My child didn't make the basketball team, so what's going to happen? My child's being bullied. So they'll never have friends. We're just so worried, and we don't allow that space to recognize things always change, and life always has possibility. But for some reason, this is something because we care so much about, we have to know how it's going to work out. So for me that night, I wrote my biggest fear down, and I asked myself, am I absolutely certain that my daughter is not going to be okay? Because ultimately, it wasn't really about the celiac disease. It was about her being okay. And ultimately, out of everything we talked about, we really just want to know our children are safe and they're okay.
Right.
So after I asked myself the question, I realized, well, maybe, you know, I'm not 100% certain she has celiac disease. I'm not 100% certain she won't be okay. I started writing those maybe statements down.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she has it and we'll give her treatment. Maybe she doesn't have it and she has a parasite. Maybe something else will happen. Maybe it's okay not to know the answer. Maybe I could just be present in this moment and enjoy the days I have with her. And after doing that for 20 minutes, I felt this pop again, and I felt this ease, and I'm like, wow, I have no idea how things are going to turn out, but I am projecting this the most horrible story in the world, and there's so many other possibilities out there.
Uh-huh.
And during those 10 days, I took her off, you know, dairy and soy, but I also really, I was with her, and we were happy, and we did things, and at the end, she ended up not having celiac disease. She was lactose intolerant.
Okay.
But it was so amazing that I was able, for those 10 days, to be present. And, I mean, we can get so crazy waiting for things to change. We could get so crazy waiting for the results of a blood test or, you know, when our children, you know, end up making new friends or they end up improving in math. But with maybe we recognize things will change and we're okay because we know life always has hope and possibility. So we could be present for our children, but we could stay hopeful for them. And they'll also see it. I mean, when I meet parents all the time, people will tell me, oh, yeah, I'm a worrier because my mother was a worrier.
Uh-huh.
Or I have a great attitude because my parents had a great attitude. So not only are we going to worry less, but we're going to teach our children to be maybe thinkers. And if you
think
about it,
they're
all
these... That's an important point. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Right. Because look at all the things in the world. I remember when that doctor landed in New York City with Ebola. Right. There were parents. They weren't sending their kids to school. Nobody would go on the subway. I mean, it's
oh,
like
my goodness.
We need to show up differently. And, you know, sometimes my daughters will come to me and they'll say, did you see what's going on in the Middle East? Did you mm-hmm. see this? And because they know maybe exists, I could be honest with them. We could say this is what's happening in the world, but maybe things will get better. Maybe things will change. Remember, mm-hmm. just because we can't see the answers today, it doesn't mean they don't exist.
Right.
So even though things are uncertain, my children view uncertainty now as a place of hope and possibility. And those are the kids that are going to go out in the world, and they're going to have the strength to persevere and hopefully try to make the world a better place
sure.
and be able to deal with the twists and turns. And I think out of all the places, that's really what we want. We want to show up with uncertainty but not give up the hope and not give up this ability to believe that life could be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I think that, you know, in all this, you're talking about change and the potential for change. It seems like we've got changes like this double-edged sword. When things are the way we want them, we don't want things to change.
Right.
And when things aren't the way we want them, we do want them to change. So what's the deal with change and its connection to maybe?
Okay. Well, it's so, yes, because when you're in life and you're happy,
mm-hmm.
right, people are like, well, I had somebody, I was having coffee with them 2 days ago, and she was telling me about her children, and they were doing very well. And I said, oh, it's so nice to hear your children are doing so well.
Right.
And she turned around to me and said, but, you know, things could go wrong at any minute.
Oh, dear.
And I looked at her and I said, you know something? Yes, they're definitely, that's a possibility, but maybe there are so many other possibilities that you should be thinking about, too.
Mm-hmm.
So when things are going okay, there are people that fear, there are two places people have fear. One is, things are going okay, I'm afraid it won't last.
Uh-huh.
Or things are going terrible, they're never going to get better.
Uh-huh.
And you can use maybe in both things, because when you're happy, you recognize, yeah, things could change, but you know something? I could be present. I know that even if they do change, maybe everything will be okay.
Uh-huh.
But what maybe does is it constantly just reminds you that no matter where you are, yes, there's always change, but there's always hope and possibility
mm-hmm.
through all times. So it was kind of interesting that this woman was in a good moment, but look, she was still holding that fear. And
right.
I wasn't telling her, don't have that fear. You can't insist that people not think that way.
Because sure.
I know another person might have said, oh, Amanda, stop thinking that way. That's a ridiculous way to think. That wouldn't be helpful to her.
Right. We feel the way we feel.
Had that
yes,
thought.
Exactly.
But with maybe you could say that, you know, Amanda, okay, I understand you're worried that something could go wrong, but maybe it won't. Maybe something else will happen. So what maybe does it, it's almost like you go into your kitchen and you see there are dirty dishes in the sink.
Uh-huh.
And you say, oh, my kitchen's dirty. But then if you open up all the cabinets, you have all these clean dishes. And really,
right.
your kitchen's mostly clean. And
uh-huh.
so what I was able to do for her is to say, okay, yeah, that possibility does exist. But look at everything else that's possible. Look at all the other beautiful things that are happening now in your life that
uh-huh.
you could be present and enjoy. And look at all the beautiful things that could still happen. So it allows us to hold the bigger perspective. So even if you have that fear, it's not going to overtake you. It's like you could put your fear in a little test tube or you could drop it in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives us a wider place to stand in life. And that's what's so great about it.
And in that example, you know, it's a very powerful one because it's another parenting example. And, you know, how many of us were raised thinking that we have to wait till the other shoe drops kind of situation?
Yes.
And if we as parents can get to this place of accepting, you know, both the good and the bad with the maybe, then, you know, we're imparting on our children that you don't need to worry about the other shoe dropping. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and it's not a matter of preparing or steeling yourself for it.
Right, because maybe everything is okay.
Yeah,
right? And,
yeah.
And I think, yeah, so I know people who just spend their whole life waiting for the other shoe to drop or waiting for the, like you said, we were brought up that way.
Uh-huh.
To always prepare for the worst. And the thing about that is that when you're just always preparing for the worst, you're missing out on the best part of life. You're not
right.
enjoying the experience. I mean, being human is such a beautiful experience, but we're always so worried that we're not really having the true experience, and that's being present.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it allows you to be present with more ease and more grace and more openness and more hope so we can enjoy life as it's happening. And when that thing does happen, when the unexpected does get us, we'll be in a place where we could say, okay, this is happening, but I know life has maybe.
Uh-huh. So, Allison, can you share with our listeners how they can connect with you online?
Sure. I have a blog at AllisonCorman.com. And I write a lot about uncertainty, about business, about parenting, and you could really get a great feel for my work. And I write about things other than maybe. I just, for me, maybe has been such a great tool to alleviate stress, worry, and anxiety that I just love to share it as much as possible. I also write for Huffington Post and Psychology Today.
Uh-huh.
And you could also get my book at all the online retailers and at the, you know, Barnes & Noble bookstores and, mm-hmm. and places like that.
Yeah, but, you know, don't go away because we have more conversation about the gift of maybe with Allison Carman when we return here in just a few moments.
Give me your, give me your, give me your attention, baby. Baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
How confident do you feel about your retirement? It's never too early or too late to start thinking about your retirement. Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get to the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who have had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman financial advisor at 425-453-0272. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800 in Bellevue, Washington 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Allison Carman and I have been talking about her wonderful book, The Gift of Maybe, and talking about the power of approaching things from this maybe perspective. And it's funny because on the break, you know, we chit-chat on the break. It's great. Benny sort of connects us in a way, and lots of shows they can't do that. But on this show, we get to talk. And anyway, we were saying, well, what are we going to say next? And you know, neither of us knew. So we are in the moment of maybe. But, you know, one thing that's definite, we're going to continue for, you know, another 10 minutes or so. You know, Allison, when coming from this place of maybe, I can see how it's really important for sort of rewriting or looking at different potential paths. You know, you talk about, you know, we view things from one linear path of, okay, this has happened, and therefore down this path, this terrible thing is going to happen. And you help open people up to this more spherical perspective of this or this or this or that from that place of maybe. And we touched upon it earlier about, you know, dealing with the past. But it seems to me that so many of us are really stuck in our old stories, oftentimes not even recognizing that we're just kind of, you know, programming our current moment based on our old stories. How do we deal with regret and sort of restructuring, you know, our past to serve us in our present moment and the future?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. When people come into my office, most of the time they give me the story of regret as to why they're not pursuing their goals.
Uh-huh.
They'll say, if I would have went into business with so-and-so, I'd be a millionaire today. Or if I would have married that girl, my life would be great today. And what's so interesting about the stories, so we write the stories about our lives, and what we do is we compare the story, that the thing we didn't choose, with the life that we have today.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Life has unexpected. Life has twists and turns. So these people are stressed about their jobs today or the relationships that they're having. So the story of regret looks perfect, but we forget, had you made that choice would have had twists and turns.
Right.
And maybe it wouldn't have worked out. Maybe that guy you went into business with, it wouldn't have been great. Maybe that woman would have left you. Maybe the choice you would have made wouldn't have been better at all. And also, who knows where you would be? Sometimes, you know, we make a choice and it leads us to the wrong place at the wrong time. So
right.
What we really know, if we're really to really look at that, if we're willing to look at the past and say maybe it wouldn't be better, maybe that choice wouldn't have given me everything in the world that I dreamed of, you're able to come to the present and say, all I really know is here I am with the hope and possibility that maybe I could find my way today.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the stories of regret, you would think I would tell you a story about a business client, but the most powerful regret story I actually have is about my dad. My dad and I were sitting around a table, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and he's 83 right now, so he was around 80, 81 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me the story of his life, and he's like, Allison, you know, I regret I didn't go into the entertainment industry. I regret that I would have been successful, I would have been a screenwriter, and uh-huh. I ended up, you know, going into my dad's business, I became an engineer, and I really held this regret my entire life. And at first, I felt like so sad. I mean, you know, the people that you love and you care for, well, you want them to be as happy, and they tell you this story, and I got hooked right in. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is so terrible. And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa. I was like, Dad, you're telling me a reverse maybe. You're telling me you would have known. And I work with a lot of people in the entertainment industry. When you look at it, I see people, they write scripts, movies don't get made, pilots fail, you lose your job.
Right.
And there's a lot happens. My dad is like, you don't really know what your life would have been like. And I'm not saying it would have been bad, but maybe things wouldn't have worked out the way you think they would have. And
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have met Mom, and you wouldn't have had me. You wouldn't have had your grandkids. Hey, you've had a really nice life, so maybe everything is okay. And he looked at me, he starts to laugh, and he says, you know, Allison, maybe everything is okay. But the most interesting thing about that story is a couple of months later, he uh-huh. started to write. At the age of 81, he started to write his own screenplay, and he started to review documentary films for a friend of mine. He started to help a friend of his with a play. So what's interesting
great.
Is that because he had that regret and that story, it didn't allow him to really move forward. It was
uh-huh.
like, I missed it. So it really wasn't just about the pain. It was about, I missed the opportunity, and therefore, it's over. It's
yeah.
done. So with that one little conversation, my dad was able to open up again, and who knows what's going to happen with his pursuits. But isn't it interesting? We never discussed it. I never turned around and said, oh, Dad, I think you should do it now. I never
uh-huh.
said a word. But because he switched it and said, you know, maybe that story's not true. Maybe everything's okay. Maybe my life has possibilities today. It just happened for him. And so I think that's what happens. It's not just letting go of that story that's causing us the pain. When we actually are able to see that maybe it wouldn't have been better, we are so open.
Mm-hmm.
willing and available to make our life different in the moment. And that's what's so glorious about it.
That's amazing. That's a great story. You know, it's funny because once upon a time, you know, when I lived in your area, I lived in New Jersey, I ended up getting the early stages of cancer, and I was working on my doctoral dissertation in mathematical statistics. And, you know, I was a statistician for many years. Anyway, when I began to deal with, you know, like trying to create better health, I chose to move to the Seattle area. I chose to leave school. And, you know, for a while I was regretting having given up my dream to get my doctorate and thought, well, maybe I should do it still. And you know, I was so, so close. It just like had part of a dissertation to finish. And then later on, I realized, you know what, had I done that, I'd probably still now be a statistician. I probably wouldn't be happy because it's not connected to my heart. It actually kind of forced me into this place of, oh, you know, I'm not going to get exactly what I want within my field, and therefore I'm going to explore other things. So I went from statistician to healer and teacher and, you know, radio show talk host, talk show host. So it's like it actually was very beneficial. But sometimes we can't really get that perspective until much later in our lives to see the perfection of it, how it unfolded.
Right. And that's the thing. And we hold the pain. You don't seem like you do, but you hold the pain so long.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why maybe it's so great, because you don't have to wait till 30 years later to have the realization. You could actually say it a week later, say, okay, well, maybe it's okay I lost that job.
Uh-huh.
Maybe something else will happen. So you are, oh, wow, I just released that pain. I just released that painful thought. Even though I don't know the answer, even though I don't know for sure, at least I'm going to allow myself to engage in the possibility that everything's okay, that things could change, that maybe what's happening is really for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a powerful thing to be able to do, to not hold that pain for 20 years. And then when you're not holding it, you can go back to an occupation you once had. You could try a new occupation. You mm-hmm. are so free in the moment to engage in anything that's possible.
Right, right. And that is so powerful. When we're in this place of not knowing what the future brings, how do we incorporate the maybe in the planning of what we want to do next?
Well, that's what's so interesting, because at first people are like, well, if I'm in maybe, how am I going to set a goal? But we all know, most of us know what we want in life. We're just too scared sometimes to come out and say it. But
uh-huh.
you have your goals. We have our passions. You know, I want to be a scientist. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. But what maybe does, it allows us. So most of the time, I think people do know. I very rarely have people come into my office. If they're being honest, if they're being totally honest, most people really know what they want. Sometimes
uh-huh.
they're afraid to say it.
Right.
So most of the time, people know what their goals are. And what you do is maybe it's your tool to deal with the twists and turns, because sometimes you don't get the job. Sometimes you don't get into the school that you wanted. Sometimes it takes 5 years to get your first acting role. So with maybe you constantly recognize it. And interestingly, my book, I think I got rejected. The book says, in my book, if you read it, it says I got rejected 25 times.
Uh-huh.
But after I went back, after the book was published, I actually went back and I counted. I think I was rejected 47 times.
Wow.
With publishers. And it was a great journey, because I was always in maybe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much time we have left, but originally I had an offer and I wrote the book, and the fellow who read the book was like, Allison is like, this is terrible. No one's ever going to read this. You
oh
need to get
goodness.
An editor, or you need to take a writing class.
Yeah, and it's actually a wonderful book, so yeah.
But I'm just saying, that was how it started.
Uh-huh.
And so, but I was in maybe. I was like, wow, I was like, maybe I need to do something else, and mm-hmm. maybe this and that. And I was so open that every time I got rejected, no one knows who Allison Carman is, so we can't publish her book. It was this entire crazy journey, but I was so in maybe the entire time that I held on to my goal, because I believed in it. I believed in the work.
Uh-huh.
But maybe allowed me to deal with the twists and turns of the rejections, of people not knowing who I was. And over time, things just grew. I stayed with it, and I got a huge following. And I started to understand maybe more, and the book deepened, and things changed. And at the end, you know, I have a very successful book, but I also have a very successful understanding of the journey.
Yes.
And I think that's what happens, because I didn't get stuck in one place, because I always realized, well, if you're not going to publish my book, maybe someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to start blogging. Maybe I need to go here. Maybe I need to do this. So you constantly, even though you have one goal, you're constantly able to move around within that of how you're going to get there. And then sometimes when you're hanging out in this place, then maybe your goal changes, and
uh-huh.
that's fine too.
Right, right. It's a wonderful book, and I love what you're teaching here. It's AllisonCarman.com. Allison, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
And thank you for joining us here today. I wanted to let you know that tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time, I'm going to be on the Manson Mitchell Show on KKNW AM 1150. So please tune in then. And what I'm going to be talking about is what I'm writing about right now, and what I'm going to be teaching about in April. It has to do with creating a roadmap for change. I have discovered, learned something about the similarities of all types of change and all approaches to change, and recognizing how all change must occur within the same circumstances, energetic circumstances. It will help us to determine how to get from point A to point B all the way to point Z so we can reach our goals. So please tune in tomorrow, and I thank you for joining us here today, and I will talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.